Hi, Rebecca and Bill. Thank you so much for that unbelievable introduction. I don't know if I'd be able to teach now after such an introduction, but I'm going to try. The topic I picked for today is rededication and restoration, and we're going to be doing the Haftarah in Zechariah, which is the Haftarah for the Shabbat of Chanukah. Before we begin, we just need a little introduction about Haftarah in general. Moshe Rabbeinu instituted Kriyat HaTorah. In Pshat in the Torah, the only place we have Kriyat HaTorah is in Hakel, where we are in public and we read the Torah. In the Masorah, right, Moshe instituted Kriyat HaTorah every Shabbat. Ezra instituted Kriyat HaTorah on Mondays and on Thursdays, so several days won't go by and we're not learning Torah. And the question is, when did Haftarah really develop? We know that in the Siddur, in the development of Tefillah, Ketuvim played a very important role, right? We use most of the Psukim from Tehillim for our Tefillah. So the question is, when do we see the development of Haftarah? We're going to see today that the definition and decision of what Haftarot we read, right, was really first seen in the Gemara. So the question is, when did Haftarah first develop, and what is the idea of the Haftarah? So one view is that, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, maybe after you have Kriyat HaTorah, how do you get back to Tefillah? You need some kind of a matir or a peterechem, an opening, to go from Kriyat HaTorah, Torah, back to the Ketuvim, back to Tefillah, back to a certain kind of your involvement in speaking. And what would be that segue? That segue would be Navi. We all know the famous Abu Draham, who says that how did Haftarah develop? Really, it was actually during the time of the Chashmonaim, where during the time of the Chashmonaim, the Hellenists did not let Bnei Israel learn Torah in public. So then they read the Navi instead as like a... not a substitute, but as a way of fulfilling this idea of learning. Another view is because we fill our learning obligation through Torah when we say Shema, and we have Ketuvim in Tefillah, because we have so many Tehillim, so what was missing was Navi. And this really has a handle in some of the sources that we know, because what was included in everyday Tefillah in order to make sure we have Navi included everyday in Tefillah? Ubalitzion, right? Ubalitzion Goel is a pasuk from Yeshayahu to make sure that we insert Navi. But from the brachot of the Haftarah, what we see is some of the main ideas that the Haftarah is coming to teach us is the idea of emunah in the Navi, that what the Navi said is going to come true. What the Navi said is going to come true, and you see it even in your life every day. And of course, the idea of Navi is the nevuot about Yimot HaMashiach and La'atid Lavo, that those will be fulfilled in our day, right? We know the Be'eliyahu HaNavi Avdecha, right? U'bemalchut Beit David Mashiachecha, b'mhirah yavo, right? The idea that we're reading these Haftarot because we want to see the events in the Haftarah come true in our lives. And this is one of the main themes that we have in Haftarah. One of the main themes we have is the idea of Ma'aseh Avot Siman Labanim, that what happens in Torah happens in Navi. And what happens in Navi is also going to happen in your life, which means Navi is relevant to you. Not just because it speaks about Yimot HaMashiach, but because the events that happen in Torah, we see certain things in Navi that reflect what happens in Torah. We all know that usually, right, Haftarah has two ideas. One is the Domileh, it's similar to the Parsha, and we have another idea of Haftarah, which is similar to the holiday, or the Chag, that we are celebrating. So we have a lot of Haftarot that have to do with the calendar, and we have a lot of Haftarot that actually have to do with the Haftarot. The list of the Haftarot that have to do with the calendar are very early. We already see them in the Gemara. We don't have a list, a finalized list of the Haftarot that have to do with the Kriyat HaTorah of Parsha, because Parsha was not established yet, very early on, because in Eretz Yisrael we had a triennial cycle where the Torah was finished every 3 years, and in Bavel we had the cycle that the Torah was finished every year. So the list of Haftorahs that we have for Eretz Yisrael are quite different than the Haftorot that we have for Bavel. But the earliest set of Haftorot that we have are the haftarot for the chagim and the special events. And clearly, Chanukah, which was established as a Yom Tov very early, again, Yom Tov in the way of that we say Shevach v'Hoda'ah Lashem, but not in the sense of Isra Malacha and Chag, so we're using that phrase very differently. But that was already established very early. So let's first open up. We're in number four. I want to start with number four, because this is all introduction to our Haftarah. Look on number four, that's on page two. The Mishnah in Megillah in Perek Gimel, there are sources. There should be a box in the back if people want to look inside in Makoros. In the Mishnah Masechet Megillah, Perek Gimel, in Mishnah Vav, it says, "B'chanukah b'nisiyim, b'purim v'yavo amalek." These are the maftirs. What are the maftirs that we read on special days? And what's a maftir? A special reading that we do from the Torah, right, that we read on special days. So we know we have Kriyat HaTorah. On certain special Shabbatot, right, we have a different kind of maftir. Instead of repeating, right, the last few lines of Shvi'i, we have a special Kriya, right, that we take a separate Sefer Torah out for. So the Mishnah already discusses that on Chanukah, we have a separate reading from the Torah, right? And we know these are the same readings that we do every single day, Kriyat HaTorah. B'Chanukah B'Nisi'im. On Chanukah, we read what the Nisi'im brought as presents to the Mishkan and at Chanukat HaMishkan. Look at number 5, which is the source itself, the Kriya for Chanukah. Bamidbar Perek Zayin. Vayhi b'yom klot Moshe lahakim et HaMishkan. When Moshe finished building the Mishkan, right, he does Mashiach, he anoints it, and he makes it Kadosh, and all its vessels. And what does he do? Right? He asks the Nisi'im come forward, right, the heads of all the families, and they bring their presence and their korbanot to the Mishkan. Look at Pasuk Yud, we're in number 5, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud. Vayakrivu hanisi'im et chanukat hamizbeach, right? And they bring their korban l'chanukat hamizbeach. So already in the Torah, right, we have this idea at chanukat hamishkan, the nisi'im bring, and they bring their presence for the first dedication of the Mishkan. And not only the Mishkan, specifically the idea of the mizbeach. Already, by the time of the Gemara, look at number 6, right? The Talmud Bavli, Masechet Megillah, Daf Lamed, Aleph, Amud Aleph. When the Gemara is discussing this Mishnah, right, what does the Gemara say? B'chanukah, b'nisi'im. And Chanukah, the maftir in the Kriya, is b'nisi'im. U'maftirim, but already here in the Gemara, we have the Haftorah. What is the Kriya from Navi that we do on Shabbat Chanukah? We read in Zechariah Paragimel. Now this is, meaning that's just what the Bar Ilan program, right, puts in. It doesn't say the Perek in the Gemara, right? It says, U'maftirin b'neirot de Zechariah, right? We do maftir, right? The Haftorah, right, is in the concept, the story of the Neirot of Zechariah. So already in the Gemara, we have established our Haftorah as the Haftorah for Chanukah. Ah, sometimes we have 2 Shabbatot. So the first Shabbat we read Neirot Zechariah, and in the second Shabbat, if Chanukah has 2 Shabbatot, this year we only have 1, then we read the Neirot of Shlomo. When Shlomo builds the Beit HaMikdash, he builds many menorahs that go with the Beit HaMikdash. But the main Kriya is in Zechariah. And the question is, what is it about Zechariah and the message of this Haftarah that really made it not only the reading that we do as the Haftarah for Chanukah, but is really one of the seminal messages that we have about Shivat Tzion, about restoration in general, and also messages for future generations. So much so that this idea of Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim, that what happens in Torah, Parshat Bahalotcha, the Nisi'im bring presents, also happens in Nevi'im, in Zechariah. We are going to have the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. We also had it in Shlomo, right, where he is building the Minarot. And then we're going to see that from this Perek, right, when the State of Israel was established, the symbol, the emblem that was picked, was the menorah with the 2 olive branches on both sides. That is from this Haftorah. Which means, even in the State of Israel, when they were trying to see a symbol that really reflects what Am Yisrael really represents, and also what is its legacy throughout all the generations, this Haftorah was picked. This emblem was picked as the symbol for Am Yisrael. But that's really because that was the symbol throughout all the generations. Of Shechina, of or Hashem, and of God's presence and involvement in our lives and in history. So now we're going to go to the Haftorah. Let's go back to page one. The Haftorah starts in Zechariah Perek Bet Pasuk Yudalev. And many of us always wonder, how come the Haftorahs never start in Pasuk Aleph? And how come they're always starting in the middle of the Perek? So number one, we all know that the Prakim, the chapters of Tanakh, were not decided by the Jews. The Christians actually decided the Prakim, the chapters, because when they were constantly arguing in polemics with the Jewish community, they could never find their place. Because it wasn't organized, you know, the whole Sefer is open, right? The whole Chumash, you don't have Prakim, and we had Psukim, but we didn't have Prakim. It was always by topics and Parshiot. How do the Parshiot work, which we call the Parshiot Stumot. If you look on your page, right, you'll see the Samach, which means that's the end of a topic. At the end of some lines, you'll see a Pei, which means Parsha Ptucha, and a Samach, which is Parsha Stuma, which means there were some spaces between the different topics, the Parshiot, or there were no spaces. Ptucha, there are spaces to show you it's a different topic. Stuma, even though it was a different topic, it was closed, and many times in the original Masoretic text, the Keter Aram Tzova, the Aleppo Codex, right, the books that the Gedolim used when they were learning, and the texts that they had, right, didn't have chapters, didn't have the kind of organization that we have, right? And that's why almost all of the Haftarot fit with the Masorah. Masorah meaning also Masoretic text. What you find in the Aleppo Codex, later on when we found in the pots, in the clay pots and the jars in Qumran, in the old Dead Sea Scrolls, these are all the divisions. And again, if you have a chance to see an Aleppo Codex, because those are the old traditions from Am Yisrael. Koren Publishing tried to bring back the divisions, and that's why whenever you open a Koren Tanakh, it has different numberings, right? Different Prakim and Psukim, and it's very confusing to people who don't remember if you look in the middle column or if you look at the outward column to see what the accepted is. So, of course, the Haftorah is going to start in the middle of a Perek, because this is really a new topic. What's the context? Okay, just look from Pasuk Hey to Pasuk Yud Gimel, right? We're not going to read them, but the context is Shivat Zion. The context is Hashem is going to restore Bnei Israel to Eretz Israel. That's the context of the Haftarah. But the Haftarah begins with the words Roni v'simchi bat Zion in Pasuk Yudalet. And if you look up above, right, there's a Parsha Stuma before it. I mean, this is, according to Chazal, the real beginning of this whole idea. So Hashem is promising that Bnei Israel are going to come back to Eretz Israel. Again, we need some history. Zechariah is one of the Nevi'im when Bnei Israel come back to Eretz Israel, what we call Shivat Tzion, which means after the Churban Bayit, after Bnei Israel were exiled, Bnei Israel are coming back to Eretz Israel. Zechariah, Haggai, and Malachi are the main Nevi'im. Ezra and Nehemiah are the leaders during this time. Bnei Israel came back to Eretz Israel. Koresh, Cyrus, said they could come back, but they only build a Mizbeach when they come into Eretz Israel. They're really supposed to build the Beit HaMikdash, but they're only able to build one little Mizbeach. They're only able to build the one Mizbeach, and they're not finished with Beit HaMikdash at all. And that is the context of this Haftarah. Okay, Roni v'simchi bat Zion, ki hineni ba v'shachanti betochech ne'um Hashem. Bnei Israel have to be happy because Hashem is going to come and dwell among them. We're going to see that the phrase v'shachanti betochech, Hashem is going to dwell among them, is only speaking about Mishkan or about Bet HaMikdash, which means Hashem is promising that this one Mizbeach, after destruction, that they're rebuilding, and it's not a whole Bet HaMikdash, and they only got the Mizbeach up, that Hashem is going to dwell among them, which means the Shekhinah is going to come back. The famous vision that we have of Yecheskel, of Maaseh Merkava, of the Shekhinah of Hashem and Galut, leaving Beit HaMikdash with Churban Beit HaMikdash, so Hashem is promising that I am going to come back to this Beit Mikdash, which means even though you only have a Mizbeach, I'm promising you that you are going to fulfill your goal, which means the whole Haftarah is one of hope, of restoration, which means even though there is Churban, you can rebuild. And of course we know the connection to Hanukkah. Even though the Beit HaMikdash was defiled, and even though the Shekhinah of Hashem left in a sense because there was idolatry in there, B'nai Israel, by rededicating Beit HaMikdash, were able to, in a sense, bring back the presence, the Shekhinah, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'nilvu goyim rabim, so what's going to happen at this moment? V'nilvu goyim rabim el Hashem b'yom ahu. Not only are B'nai Israel going to build the Beit HaMikdash and going to see Shekhinat Hashem, many nations are going to come to Hashem that day, comma, V'hayu li la'am, and B'nai Israel will be my nation, comma, V'shachanti betochech, and I will dwell among you, comma, V'yadat ki Hashem tzva'ot shlachani, and you'll know that I was sent to you as a true Navi. Which means, what is intertwined, and we have this in Yeshayahu as well, and in Micha, what is intertwined with Yediat Hashem and the B'nai Israel coming back to Eretz Yisrael? The idea that also the whole world is going to know Hashem. But who is going to be his chosen people still? Only B'nai Israel. Which means, even though all the nations, right, will also recognize Hashem, only B'nai Israel will still be the chosen people. Now, this is very interesting because, again, this and Yeshayahu, Yud Aleph, play a very big role in a lot of politics today, right? Why do a lot of Christian communities want to make sure that the Jews come back to Israel and build the Beit HaMikdash? Because they see their vision also connected with this idea, which is a very interesting aside. What pasuk tzayin? V'nachal Hashem et Yehuda chelko al admat kodesh. Usually in the Nevi'im, right, we find that all of Bnei Israel are going to come back. Kibbutz Galiot is going to be complete. Whether it's Bnei Israel that were Malchut Israel, Ephraim and Manasseh, the 10 tribes that are lost, right, and also Yehuda. But what Zechariah is speaking about is only Malchut Yehuda. It's only people from the southern territories, which means the question about this nevuah, is this talking about Mashiach, or is this talking about the immediate time period? Which means when you read a nevuah, right, are you only talking about that time period? Is it only talking historically to that time period, or is it sending messages also for future generations? When we're going to see the word tzemach used, are we talking about Mashiach, which means you read this haftarah and say, it's talking to me in future generations, or is it only talking to that generation? It's talking about the people coming back from Shivat Zion, and it's limited to that. What we're going to see is that Radak is going to read it on both levels. Which means he wants to tell you, even though a lot of the pieces of the Nivuot took place during Bayit Sheni, right, in the restoration, the rest of the pieces, even if it's included in a specific Nivuah, will happen in your day. Which means you have to read it on two levels. What happened to them as a historical event, but also it's inspiring to you, which means it's going to happen in your day. You always have that hope. And that's what we have in all these nevuot, this double reading. And we have that also in all the haftarot in general, which means part of the idea of the haftarah is the idea of what happens during that generation, but the emunah and bitachon and the message for future generations. So the first part of this haftarah, has kol basar mipnei Hashem ki ne'or mim'on kodsho. The first piece of this haftarah talks about Shekhinah, talks about Hashem coming back to Am Yisrael. And this was picked again for Chanukah because the idea of V'shachanti betochech is the theme from Mishkan to Beit HaMikdash 1 to Beit HaMikdash 2, and also that is the theme for Chanukah, that the Shekhinah of Hashem came back in. So again, Ma'aseh Avot Siman Lebanim. So let's see what this first piece of haftarah, how do we see it reflected in Chumash and Tanakh. So go back to page 2. In Shmot Parakafei, and this is so important, because the language V'shachanti, right, that Hashem will dwell, is only used when we speak about the Mishkan or Beit HaMikdash. So Hashem is promising that the full Shekhinah is going to be back with Bnei Israel in Eretz Yisrael and in the Mishkan. Look in Shmot Parakafei, we're in number 7. V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti betocham. This is the first message that we have of Hashem when it comes to the Mishkan, right? If you build it, I will come. V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti betocham, which means it's almost guaranteed. If Bnei Israel make the mikdash, build the mikdash, I will dwell among them. And this is also a very interesting idea, which means, is the Mishkan and the idea of a physical place for Hashem to dwell, is that a lechatchila or b'di'evet idea? We know the famous idea of the Midrash, of Rashi, of Rabbeinu Bachya, of the Sforno, in general, a lot of the Mefarshim, right, explain that really, and based on the famous Midrashim, that really the Mishkan is the kapara for the Egel. which means what does Mishkan represent? The physical presence, right? That we need physical manifestation that Hashem is with us. And after Bnei Israel made the Egel, what did they need? They needed that physical manifestation, which means the symbol of the Mishkan is to realize Hashem's presence in this world, and we need something physical. We need a Mishkan, we need a Mizbeach, in order to recognize that Hashem has His presence here. And when we don't have it, what do we feel? Hashem has left us. So we need that kind of physicality. The Ramban explains, it's not b'di'eved. Hashem already commands them to build the Mishkan before the Egel, which means we know how the Parshiyot work. Truma and Tetzaveh are before Kitisa, before Bnei Israel committed the Chet of the Egel. So the idea of a Mishkan, the idea of the integration of the physical and the spiritual, is really something lechatchila in Yahadut, which means it's not that we're caving in, right, to our instincts, especially the Ramban is against the Rambam in this idea, right? We're not caving into our instincts that we need something physical, so we're going to use the Mishkan as a vehicle, right? The idea is that Mishkan, the integration of the physical and the spiritual, is a lechatchila, is a starting point in Am Yisrael. And that's one of the main goals that we have. How do you integrate the physical and the spiritual? So v'asuli mikdash v'shachanti v'tocham means in Yahadut we always mesh the physical and the spiritual. Beautiful kelim in the Mishkan? That's okay, because that shows our love for Hashem. If you elevate it by spiritual means, then it's a religious experience. It doesn't have any taint at all. Then, when Bnei Israel have to build the Ben HaMikdash, and Hashem speaks to Shlomo, look at page 3. When Hashem appears to Shlomo in Melachim Aleph Perek Vav, what does He tell him also? He tells him, if you build the Ben HaMikdash, what will I do? Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'shachanti betoch Bnei Israel, V'lo e'ezov et Ami Israel. Again, the only other time we have this phrase, when Shlomo is supposed to build Beit HaMikdash, Hashem tells him, V'shachanti v'toch Bnei Israel. It's an extra manifestation for Hashem to dwell among Bnei Israel. But in Malachim Aleph, Perek Chet, right, Shlomo introduces, of course, the house can't contain Hashem. Hashem's presence can never be contained, right? So what does it mean? As Amar Shlomo, Hashem Amar Lishkon Ba'arafel, when he's giving the bracha, when Beit HaMikdash was already built, at the dedication of Beit HaMikdash. So this phrase, right, also takes place during the dedication of Beit HaMikdash, right? Bano Baniti Beit Zvulach Machon L'Shiftecha Olamim, which means now he spells it out, which means I built this house for you that you should dwell here forever. And the question is, does it mean Yerushalayim or does it actually mean the house? But what we have throughout the history of Am Yisrael, as long as we had a Beit HaMikdash, our focus was that Hashem's concentrated Shechina, right? Hashem Amar Lishkon Ba'arafel, is in the Beit HaMikdash, right? Afterwards, the concentrated Shechina of Hashem is seen as being in Yerushalayim. So we have a little change here, because originally the Mishkan is everywhere, right? Vasuli Mikdash v'shachanti v'tocham, and yet once we get to Eretz Yisrael, it's in a real place, it's in Yerushalayim. Again, big argument, right? The Kedush of Yerushalayim does not have to do with Bnei Israel. It was immutable and forever. It's just once Bnei Israel came and were able to build a Mikdash, it really enhanced this already original Kedusha, because the Akedah was there, and that was a special place that Yaakov had his chalom. That is the place of Shechinas Hashem. But what is the job of Am Yisrael? Always to protect that place, because by protecting that place and having Kedusha in that place, that shows that we realize Hashem's presence among us. So once we went into Galut, what did we have? The concept that everybody has it wherever they are, and the shul, right, the Bet Knesset, is like a Bet Mikdash Me'at, because we built a place where we show that we think or we expect we have certain kavod and behaviors in Bet HaKnesset because it has a certain kedusha. And again, so it has like a Me'at Mi Bet HaMikdash. So Mikdash plays a very important role with the Shechinah. Let's go on to Yechezkel. In Yechezkel, he's the Navi right before, right, we come to Chagai and Zechariah. He has visions of a Bet Mikdash. And what does he say in Pasuk Tet? Ata yarchiku et znutam upigrei malchehem mimeni v'shachanti betocham la'olam. What's the prerequisite for Shekhinah? You can't do avodah zarah. You can't behave immorally, right? You have to behave the right way. Hashem told Shlomo, if you go in my ways, then my Shekhinah is going to dwell among you. So we see the whole history of the idea of Shekhinah is connected with Eretz Yisrael. It's connected with the Mikdash, specifically. And also we see is connected now, let's go back to page one, is connected with the Mishkan, right? The Mikdash, and now even Bayit Sheni. Even though they don't have a house, they only have a Mizbeach, Hashem's presence is there. So the idea of Shekhinah, right, is connected with Beit HaMikdash, and the spirituality of Hashem, right, has to have a physical place, right, in order for Bnei Israel to feel Hashem's presence. Again, after the Korban, right, it travels wherever with Bnei Israel through Bet Knesset and other ideas, but it really all comes from the concept of the Kedusha of the Mikdash. So the first part is talking about Shekhinah, Hashem's dwelling among Bnei Israel, Hashem's intense spirituality that Bnei Israel feel, right, his Shekhinah. The second part is going to talk about the Kohanim, which means, so what did the Hashmonaim do? They rededicate Beit HaMikdash by doing only Shem and Zayit Zach, in a sense, by bringing back the Kedusha and Tahara to Beit HaMikdash. They're acting in the same line as Jewish history completely, from the time of Mishkan, Beit Mikdash 1, Beit Mikdash 2 when it was dedicated, and now their rededication of bringing the Shekhinah, according to this Haftarah, is showing that what they did is really an enactment of something that has gone out throughout Jewish history. That's one. What's the second part of the Haftarah? The second part of the Haftarah is about the Kohanim. A Kohen and a political leader came back to Eretz Yisrael with Shivat Zion. And who are the two people? Look at page number 4, and we're going to number 16. I will do 15. Page number 4, number 15. In Haggai, right, Perek Aleph, as we said, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Ezra, Nehemiah are the four leaders during that time. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi are the Nevi'im, Ezra, Nehemiah are more the political leaders. Bishnat Shtayim L'Dayavesh, on the second year of Darius, about 520 BCE, right, what happened? Hashem is giving his Nevuah in the hands of Haggai. Haggai and Zechariah are contemporaries, to Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel. Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel is the Davidic continuity. He is the grandson of Jehoiachin. Jehoiachin was the king who was exiled from Yerushalayim with the first Galut, right? Which means, even though 586 is when everyone was exiled, right? When the important people were exiled. And Yehoshua ben Yehotzadak Kohen Gadol. Yehoshua ben Yehotzadak Kohen Gadol was the Kohen Gadol during the time of Shivat Zion. He's born in Galut and he comes to Eretz Yisrael. So two great leaders come to Eretz Yisrael. Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel, who has Davidic dynasty heritage, he can be the next king, which means if we're going to have a king in Bayit Sheni, he has the potential to be king. And then we have Yehoshua ben Yehotzadak. Yehoshua ben Yehotzadak is in the line of the Kohanim Gdolim. He is the Kohen HaGadol at the time. So let's go back to our perek now in Zechariah, the Haftorah. What's the second part of this Haftarah? What is it saying? Vayar'eni Hashem et Yehoshua Kohen HaGadol. We're in page 1 and we're number 2. Omed lifnei malach Hashem, vasatan omed al yimino lesitno. Yehoshua is standing, and a malach is standing next to him, and then there's an accuser. The satan here is the prosecuting attorney, the accuser. And what does Hashem say to the accuser? He says, I'm upset with you, right? And I'm upset with you as one who chooses Yerushalayim, because he is a refugee. He is an ember. Yehoshua ben Yehotzadak, who comes from the Galut into Eretz Yisrael, is considered a refugee. So why would the accuser have anything to say about him? Meaning, why would he be accused? What did he do wrong, right, that would have any impact on his role as a leader in Am Yisrael? Vayan, Vayoshua haya lavush begadim tsoim ve'omed lifnei hamalach. Yehoshua is dressed in dirty clothes, and the accuser is accusing him. And Vayan Vayomer Elha Omdim Lefanav Lemor Hasiru Habgadim Hatsoim Alav. Take off the dirty clothes. Here's Yehoshua Ben Yehotzadak. He's the Kohen Gadol, right? He's wearing dirty clothes and he's being accused. Of what is he being accused, right? And they say, you know what? He should take off his dirty clothes and he should be dressed in clean clothing in the Tzanif, in the Bigdei Kehuna. And then the Malach tells Yehoshua, if you go in my ways, the same tradition that we have with all the other ones who are involved with Beit HaMikdash, then you will always have Kohanim who are going to worship in Beit HaMikdash. Which means, during Shivat Zion, we also had a second restoration. If you want to, you look at page 5, we see 21 and 22. A big problem that we had, page 5, 21 and 22 in Ezra, you have to do Ezra and Nehemiah right? Haggai, Zechariah are all connected. A big problem. A lot of the Kohanim were intermarried. And the Kohanim were intermarried even those who came from Yehoshua ben Yotzadak's family. His sons were intermarried. Look at number 23, right? Umibnei Yehoshua ben Yotzadak ve'echav. They were intermarried. On number 21, you see who's upset about this, right? Bnei Israel, right, are coming back from Galut, but they're totally intermarried. The leaders are intermarried, the Kohanim. And what you see is Ezra is davening before Hashem, right? And he says the only way to continue is if we really separate from these Nashim Nochriot, which means the leaders of Am Yisrael, the Kohanim, were totally intermarried. Similar what we saw with the idea of the Hellenists in the time of Hanukkah, right? People were totally Hellenized, totally integrated. And the question is, can you ever undo that? Can you ever undo that idea of impurity? Could the Kohanim, especially the Kohen Gadol here, Yehoshua ben Yotzadak, take that stain, again, we're going to see Rashi, take that stain of intermarriage off and then become someone who can work in Bet HaMikdash? Number two, can a Kohen, right, who was in Galut, in Haggai also we have this idea, who doesn't know the Halachot, can he now learn the Halachot and really transform himself in order to work in Bet HaMikdash? Which means, can you ever get a second chance? Is the fact that they're intermarried, is the fact that they did chataim, is the fact that they don't know the halachot, is the fact that they are impure, which again, in Zechariah, Haggai, and Malachi are very big themes, can you ever change that? Can you ever turn things around? Can you ever do tshuva? Can you ever rededicate? Can you change and really move ahead? And what we see here is that the Haftarah is saying, the Navi is saying to Yehoshua ben Yotzadak, absolutely. Even though you have this in your history, right? If you separate from the Nashim, according to Rashi, right? Then you can have a new future. According to Radak, again, we don't have a chance to read it all inside, but it's all in the pages. You can look at it after the Shi'ur. According to Radak, what does Radak focus on? Radak says it's not so much about the intermarriage, and Ibn Ezra as well, but here are people who are in Galut, right? They don't know what it's like to live in Eretz Yisrael. Are you going to count all their sins and all their lack of knowledge as something, as a demerit against them? Or are they going to be able to rededicate themselves and become pure so much so that the Kohen Gadol can still wear the tzanif tahor, can wear the tzitz, which means wear the highest level, right, of clothing that you would need for Bet HaMikdash, which means can you really rededicate? And the theme that we have for the Mikdash during the time of the Hashmonaim is very clear, which means after the desecration of Bet HaMikdash, after they brought Avodah into Bet HaMikdash, can it be rebuilt? Can it be restored? Is there a possibility, right? Is what the Hashmonaim did real? That when they rededicated Beit HaMikdash, all those past things are in the past, and Beit HaMikdash was really restored. And again, using this Haftarah, the fact that this Haftarah was picked is saying absolutely yes. Even with the intermarriage, even with all these Chataim, even with all this impurity and lack of knowledge, right? Bnei Israel can really rededicate themselves and try again. And again, this Haftarah is one of the most popular Haftarot that we had in the beginning of the development of the State of Israel, because they saw this restoration. So again, we have all the way from the beginning of the Mishkan, the idea is through the Beit HaMikdash, the idea through the Hashmonaim, and then also to the restoration of Am Yisrael, the State of Israel, which means that look throughout history, right? You can rededicate, you can come together and really rebuild after certain things were destroyed. And yet, what are one of the messages here? Look at Pasuk Chet. We're back on page 1. We're in the Haftarah. So we had Shechina. We have the idea of the Kohen Gadol. And now is the question, right? So Yehoshua, Shmano Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, Ata v're'echa yoshvim lefanecha, ki anshe mofet heima, ki hinini mevi et avdi tzemach. Who is this avdi tzemach? It doesn't say here in the Pshat who it is. A few psukim later, though, it tells us that Avdi Tzemach is maybe Zerubbabel. And who is Zerubbabel? The political leader of Am Yisrael. He was from the Davidic dynasty, and we have the Kohanim. Throughout Navi and throughout Tehillim, we have this juxtaposition of the Kohen, right, and the Melech. The Kohen and the idea of Melech, that both together are really going to bring the restoration. And here we have it full force. And again, in the Farshim debate, who is Avdi Tzemach? Is it Zerubbabel? Will we have Davidic dynasty restored during the time of Bayit Sheni? And what do we know? We didn't have it restored, right? After the story of Zerubbabel, we don't hear from Malchut Beit David at all. But who become the leaders and the important political actually involved politically after a while, but who become the leaders of Am Yisrael? It really, the Kohanim played a major role, and we also have eventually Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, and we have people from the Davidic family, but we don't have Malchut, we don't have kingship restored. So what is this time speaking about? Is it talking about Zerubbabel is going to be a leader, or is it going to be speaking about Mashiach? And again, this double-edged sword. Radak says some things were during that time, and some things we also hold for the time of Mashiach, which means all this ambiguity about Geulah, about Yeshua, is it our day? Is it the future day? How much happened then? How much do we still have? And Munan Bitachon is really going to happen. So again, we have that big debate among Rashi and Ibn Ezra say Zerubbabel, but Radak says many things happened with Zerubbabel, but again, these haftarot, these prakim, what happened during that time is to give us Emunan Bitachon La'atid. Bayom ahun umashem tzvaot, tikru'u ish l're'eu el tachat gafno ve'el tachat te'inato. Right? Tachat ha'gefen ve'el ha'te'inat. Does this mean we're going back to Shlomo's time? Or is this the phrase that we're using for Yemot HaMashiach? Or did they have a certain kind of peace during that time? Which means, as long as you develop a certain amount of stability, then that's okay. Again, what's the message to the Hashmonaim? On the one hand, the Hashmonaim developed stability, right? Am Yisrael developed a certain kind of leadership during their time period. They rededicated Beit HaMikdash. So again, the message is very positive. Where we come to the end is really the main theme of this Haftarah, why it's connected to Hanukkah, even though all these are absolutely important. And that is the theme of the menorah. And that is what is mentioned in the Gemara. I mean, what's the main theme that we're discussing? Is the idea of the menorah. So that's the last vision here that Zechariah has. So we have Mishkan, we have the idea of the Kohanim, and the Hashmonaim were all Kohanim, which means that they can rededicate themselves and become great leaders. But what's the problem that we have with the Chachamim, with the Hashmonaim? On one hand, the Hashmonaim were Kohanim. They were not from the Davidic family. Who should always be political leaders of Am Yisrael? The Davidic family. So is there any kind of little slap on the wrist in this Haftarah that Chazal chose to remember Hanukkah, even though so far we said great things, restoration, Kohen, Shekhinah, that's what the Hashmonaim were able to do to Beit HaMikdash, just like Shlomo did, just like the Nisim did, right? Just like we see Zechariah was able to do. But the fact that we use this last piece and we end with Tzuot Chen Chenla, what are some of the messages that we find in this Haftarah? So what does Zechariah see? And this is the last vision that is most blatant, which is connected with Chanukah. Vayomer elai, ma taro'e, what do you see? And he says, va'omar, on page 2, right, the end of the Haftarah. Vihine menorat zahav, he sees a golden menorah, right? And he sees a source, right, like a jug on top. And it has 7 candelabras. And each candelabra has 7 branches of oil coming into each candelabra. So we mean 49. So we have all this oil coming into this menorah. And again, what's the symbol? From the time of Chumash, in the Parsha Balotcha, Aharon and the menorah. We have the description of Shlomo and the menorot in Beit HaMikdash. We have this vision now with Zechariah and the menorah in Beit HaMikdash, which means menorah was a very important symbol of Or Hashem. So when Zechariah is seeing about rebuilding and rededication, and we're talking about Shekhinah, so what is the symbol of Shekhinah? What is the symbol of Shekhinah? What is the symbol of the Kohanim's role in the Beit HaMikdash? That is the symbol of the menorah. So there are 2 zeitim on each side. There's 2 branches or 2 trees, and the symbolism we'll see in the end of the Haftarah, right? Actually, after the Haftarah, speaks about Zerubbabel and Yehoshua ben Yehotzadak. Again, is it political and religious? What did the Hashmonaim do? They took all the political clout for themselves. So even though they were supposed to be just religious individuals, right, teaching a religious value, right, they also acted in a political way. So the end of the Haftorah is chosen, right, and he asks, what are the 2 branches? And the Malach answers him, and this is also very interesting. In Zechariah, the Malach answers, and we don't have the Navi himself understanding. Usually, right, in Nevi'im, right, we have Moshe, he saw Bas Paklaria Meira, he saw everything clearly. By the time we get to Yirmiyahu, he also, Hashem asks some questions, and Hashem tells him directly what's going on. By the time we get to Zechariah and all the last three Nevi'im at the end of Vayecheni, when we know Nevuah ends, we don't have any Nevi'im after Malachi, right? At the end, beginning of Vayecheni is when Nevuah ends. We already have the intervention of a Malach who always has to interpret what the words are. What is he seeing? Which means originally the Navi himself sees a vision and he's able to understand it. Here we already see that the Shechinah of Hashem is getting less and less and less, right? Because we don't have the interpretation of the Navi in its full force because the Shechinah is less. So the idea that even though we won't have Nevuah, what do we need in Beit HaMikdash? What's important? It's the idea of the Shechinah, of the spirituality. So even though we won't have Dvar Hashem coming to us anymore, the idea of Shechinat Hashem being with us forever is so important. And even if eventually we won't have the Beit HaMikdash, that Shechinah, that indwelling idea of the presence of Hashem, is more important eventually, right, than Dvar Hashem, which we already have as Mesorah, but the Shechinah is this constant presence that we're all going to have. And what's the end? Mia Vayan, and this is the most important pasuk in this whole haftarah within this context. Vayan Vayomaron, pasuk Vav. Zedvar Hashem al Zrubavel, lemor, lo b'chayil v'lo b'koach, ki im beruchi amar Hashem. Mia tahar gadol lifnei Zrubavel lemishor, v'hotzi et ha'even harosha, tzuot chen chen la. The end of the haftarah, the idea is that really what's important, lo b'chayil v'lo b'koach, not the actual battle, ki im biruchi amar Hashem's fot. It's really Hashem's involvement and intervention in what's going on in the world. We know that with Vayecheni, they didn't fight any battles, right? Koresh said they should build the Beit HaMikdash. Then Darius gave them, and after a break, they were able to finish the Beit HaMikdash, which means it was done without warfare. One of the messages, again, that Chazal want to give about Chanukah, and with this we're going to wrap up all of our ideas, is that this haftarah is very important for Chanukah. Number one, it brings in the menorah. Number two, it brings in the idea of the Kohen. Number three, it brings in the idea of the Shechinah, which means what did Chazal really want to emphasize about Chanukah? We know that we have the milchama, that the Hashmonaim fought a battle, right? But even though we mention the battles very centrally in Al Hanisim, where do we mention it? We mention it in Tefillah. Which means even though it's a physical battle, right, we give Shevach v'hoda'a l'Hashem about it in Tefillah, which means in our most non-active, in a sense of physical, right? Tefillah is very active, but it's on a spiritual plane. So in all areas, we don't have a special su'udah that commemorates the battle. We don't have any other halachot that are connected with the battle itself. The only ma'isa mitzvah that we have for Chanukah is the menorah, which means what symbolizes the indwelling Shechinah of Hashem and what was the whole battle of the Hashmonaim about. Not b'chayil u'b'koach. Of course they had to use it, but it was all to bring back the Shechinah of Hashem. And what this haftarah, in a sense, on the one hand, it's a compliment, saying the Hashmonaim did a wonderful job. They restored the roles of the Kohanim. They restored the idea of the Shechinah. They brought the Beit HaMikdash back in the line of history, which is unbelievable what the Hashmonaim did. But on the other hand, it's also a little quiet slap on the wrist. We know that Ramban and a lot of Chachamim, everyone debates, how come we don't have a Gemara for Chanukah? How come it's mostly Masechet Megillah? And in Shabbos, right, we discuss all the halachot of Chanukah. And of course, we're thrilled that the Hashmonaim fought in order to bring back the Shechinah and Beit HaMikdash. But what was the original role of the Kohanim? What was their main idea of purity, of kehuna, of menorah? So what is really the symbol that we have of Chanukah? What is the main job of all the wars and all the victories during the time of Chanukah by the Hashmonaim? It really was for this religious rededication. And that's why the Ma'aseh Mitzvah that we have on Chanukah is the menorah, because that's the symbol. Not that there wasn't a battle to get to that, but that was the ultimate goal. And also in this discussion where we have Yehoshua ben Yehotzadak and Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel, which means in this Haftorah, even though Yehoshua plays the major role, the Kohen is the major one, we still have the mention of Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel, which means Malchut Yehuda, which means one of the criticisms that we also have for the Hashmonaim is that they usurped the role of Yehuda and they took political power. So in one sense, this Haftarah is really a brilliant rendition of what Chanukah really represents to us, how Chanukah fits in the bigger scheme of things, and also the symbolism of this Haftorah is so strong, meaning this Perek in Navi. We read it also for Bahalotcha, meaning this is the Haftorah that we read for Baal Lotrak, it's the symbol of the Mikdash and the Kohen, and of course the menorah. And this is also the Haftarah that we have for Chanukah, which symbolizes for us the role of the Chashmonaim, what their goals or what their success was, and what should be their main goal, and what should be our message from Chanukah. Of course, you have to do your hishtadlot and physical things, and Bnei Israel had to fight then, and we remember that. But the main message that the Chachamim want us to understand for Chanukah is lo b'chayil v'lo b'koach ki'im beruchi. On the one hand, of course, milchama had its role because you need a milchama. But in everything that we saw, you have to do mitzvot Hashem, and then you'll have the Shechina. You have to do mitzvot Hashem, and then you have the Shechina, which means the integration of your ma'asim, right? Even your physical involvement all has to be towards the idea of ruchaniyut, the whole idea of v'shachanti v'tochem. Thank you very much.